Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Chav Dalid, the final daf in Masechtas Makis. We're holding the third line for the top of the Yom, and as you recall yesterday, the final Gemara that we learned was Dorish Reb Simloi, that we have Tariyag Mitzvois, 365 Loiseses, and 248 Aseis. You add that together, 613. Where do we take this from? Rav Amnuna said, it says in the Pasuk, Torah Tzivolano Moshe, Torah is Begematria 611. Moshe Rabbeinu gave 611 mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the first two mitzvahs, B'chvodo u'ba'atzmoy, of the Aseret Tzimtzumis, that's Anoichi L'Yelecha, 611 and 2 is 613. So starting on the third line, but David HaMelech came hemidon al achas esrei, and he encapsulated those 613 within 11 broad categories, if you will. The Rivon says that the reason why this was necessary is because in the Toiris Rishoinim, earlier times, people were real tzaddikim, and therefore they were able to easily conquer their Yetzaharis and take care of all the 613 mitzvahs. Toiris Achroinim, we're not on that same Madrega, so to go and give full attention to every single one of the 613 might be difficult, and therefore by putting them in 11 categories, then it's easier to live with and to... To be able to acclimate and get involved and therefore be mindful of all the 613. The Maral adds a little knetch to this. The Maral says that in the good old days, he doesn't talk about the good old days. He talks about the fact to go and have dveikus on Hashem, to really be cleaved to Hashem Yisborach, you have the 613 mitzvahs. Now, what happens if I'm not on the Madrega to really give my entire Ramach Evorim Mishasagidim to the fulfillment of those 613 mitzvahs because of the Yetzirah? Therefore, says David HaMelech, you can still get close to Hashem. Perhaps not on that same Madrega, like the 50 Madregas of Chochmah and Kedusha, so at least Madrega number 49 or 48, if you cleave to the following 11 major mitzvahs and precepts and morals, then you can also have a great degree of dveikus to Hashem. So what are these 11? Who can go and live in your oil, kaviyochel, to get close to you, Hashem? Who can go and live on the Har HaKodesh? Oh, so we now have the list of 11. Hoylech tamim is one. The Gemara is going to explain each one of them in great detail, so we'll just number them for the time being. Hoylech Tamim is one. Poyel Tzedek is two. Dover Emes Bulvove is three. Le Rogel Al Leshoinai is four. Le Osel Re'ehu Ro'o is five. Cherpa Le Nosa Al Kroivoi is six. Nivze Be'enav Nimas is seven. Vesiri Hashem Yechabed is eight. Nishba Lahorav Layomir is nine. Kaspa Le Nosem B'Neshech is ten. Veshoicher Al Noki Le Lokach is 11. Oysa Eila, someone who is Mekayim these 11 major categories of mitzvahs, Oysa Eila, Yimitli Oilam, he will never falter forever, he will be close to Hashem Yisbarach. And now we're going to go through each one of the 11 in some detail, and the Gemara will give examples for some of the 11. So Hoylech Tamim, who's the best, the most, the cardinal example, I know cardinal is not the right term, but anyway, Hoylech Tamim, who is that? The Avram Avinu. Who's Avram Avinu? The Chassidim says in the Pasuk, Hishalech Lefonai Veyei Samim. Oh, says Avram Avinu that he was Samim. So when it talks about Hoylech Tamim, we can try to follow in the footsteps of Avram Avinu. Poyel Tzedek, can go in Abba Chilkiyo. Now it doesn't tell us in the Gemara what was Abba Chilkiyo, what was special about him. And the Rivon is also silent. However, if you go to the Gemara Masechtas Tanis, it says about Abba Chilkiyo that he was Poel. Poel is an employee working for his employer. He was tzedek, he was as righteous as they could be. So much so that the Gemara says in Masechtas Tanis that when Talmidei Chachamim would pass by Abba Chilkiyo whilst he was working, he would not even greet them. What? Not greet them? Right, because he did not want to waste even 1 second, even 5 seconds from his work on behalf of his employer. That's a poil tzedek. because of his tzidkus, it says in Masech Tzitanis, that they asked when it was a famine, where there was no rain, there was a shortage of rain, they would ask Abba Chalkiyo to be their Baal Tefillin, to lead them in the service, so that that would guarantee that the rain would start pouring down in his time.
Our school says he was a grandson of Choni HaMagel.
And he was a grandson of Choni HaMagel. And we know that Choni HaMagel, he was considered to be a great tzaddik, and he was the one that made an eagle and stood there and said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, if it doesn't start raining, I'm not leaving this circle. I would say that I would be stuck in that circle forever. And Choni HaMagel said it, and it started coming down. Oh no, I didn't mean a drizzle. I meant a rain. Oh, and then it was a torrential rain. And that's Imar Masechtes Tanis. So you're right. He was stuck in Enikul of Choni HaMagel, and that's how he was a poyel tzedek. So one should try to emulate him. The story is told about Rav Henkin, Zchon Levracha. Rav Henkin was the Nasi for many, many years of Ezra's Torah. He was, until Rav Moshe Feinstein came to America, he was considered to be the American Poisek Hadar. When Rav Moshe came, then already his great light kind of dimmed a little bit compared to Rav Moshe, but he was a grace of God, Rav Henkin. Anyway, so the story is told that people would come to him for shilas and talk to him about various problems and issues, and then every few minutes they would see he took out a small little notebook that he had in his pocket, and he would make a notation. Pinkus. Oh, and put it back in. A few minutes later, he'd write again, and they tried to figure out what it was all about. And Rav Henkin eventually divulged that he would look at his watch, and every 15 minutes, as soon as he saw 15 minutes pass, he would make another notation not to charge Ezra's Torah for 15 minutes, because he's working for the organization. How could he charge them if he's talking Torah or helping out somebody with a chesed or whatever? So he would go and make notches in his notebook to know that the next week to go and ask the accountant.
That was not part of his job description.
That was not part of the job description, and therefore he said, go and give me less salary. Getting back to our Gemara, so that's the Poyel Tzedek. And then we get to Doiver Eves Bilvami, going to Rav Safra. Rav Safra, the story of Rav Safra is quite familiar to the people. It's talking about Rav Safra was selling a particular object. It doesn't say what the object was. Rivon says, Chifetz Echad Limkar. Otherwise, he wanted to go and sell his horse. Whatever, a bicycle. He wanted to sell something. And there were people that wanted to buy it. So somebody came over to Rav Safra and said, I offer you $100. Rav Safra, however, was in the middle of Krishma, and he did not respond. The person didn't realize that his lack of response was because of Krishma. He figured he wasn't enticed by $100. He said, you know what? I raise it to $150. Rav Safra keeps on davening Krishma, and nothing happens. 5 minutes later, the same person comes over. Okay, $200. And Rav Safra is still davening Krishma. Another couple of minutes pass by. My final offer, $250. That's it. I'm not going to go a penny more than that. Finally, Rav Safra finishes Krishma, presumably finishes Manasseh too. And then he says to him, I sell it to you for the $100. Because since when you said initially $100, I heard you. And I already said in my mind, that's a fair offer. I'm happy to accept it. I couldn't talk out because we're in the middle of Krishma. But I accept that first off, even though the other guy went all the way to 250. So that's what the Gemara is saying, Doiva Eves Bilvovoi, in his heart, in his mind, he had already accepted that offer, even though he hadn't verbalized it. I accept your first offer. That's Rav Safra. Le Rogal al Lishoinai, Ze Yaakov Avinu, Tchsiv, Ulayim Misheni, Ov Vyisi Eina Be'enav Kimisatea. Le Rogal Lishoinai means not to talk sheker, not to go and talk anything which is evil, which is wrong, which is a lie. And we find by Yaakov Avinu when Yitzchak summoned Esav to go and give him the brachas, and then Rivka called on Yaakov Avinu and say, I want you to get the brachas and not Esav. So then Yaakov was afraid. He says, what am I going to go and tell Tati? He's going to ask, who are you? Ulai Misheni Ovi, he's going to feel me. Well, looks like I'm fooling him. Why did Yaakov ultimately agree to go, says the Rivan? Because his mother said, Al Pi Nevuah, that she received, that you, Yaakov, should receive these brachas and not Esav. He said, no, mommy, if that's what you tell me, you know, then I'm going to go. But otherwise, he was not willing to go, even though it meant to get the brachas. He didn't want to do that.
That's to guarantee that she takes the sin.
That's good. Thank you. Rivon adds that as well. That just in case Chas Hashem there will be a klola on you, I take it upon myself. That's what the Rivon says. But other Mefarshim go and add one more knech, because Rogel Alishoyne could also mean not to go and say Loshen Hara. Like Leiseilech Rochel Ba'amecha, a Rochel is a person that runs, walks around listening to stories about people and sharing them with others, and that's a form of Loshen Hara. He didn't want to say Loshen Hara, meaning that if Yitzchak would say to Yaakov, Yaakov, why are you here? You know that I called Esav, what are you doing here? So Yaakov presumably could have said, Yitzchak, with the greatest of respect and reverence, you don't realize who Esav is. As you know, unfortunately, your eyesight has dimmed over the years and you don't see what he's doing. He's doing X, Y, and Z, and it's terrible. It's gefährlich. He's a Rosh Marusha. Says Yaakov, you know, I don't want to say Lushan Hara to my father. I'm not going to say a word, even if it would mean that he gets the brachas and not me, but I'm not going to say any Lushan Hara. Right, continuing on. What does that mean? If he knows that his chaver is in a business, he doesn't go to compete against him and take away the other person's parnasa. Cherpa means, of course, a humiliation, busha. He was not willing to carry on his about his karev, about his relative. What does that mean? So makarev is kroivov. So the Rivon says bekitzur loisoval cherpas kroivai. His karev unfortunately was in shame or humiliated, and he couldn't go and be soivel. He couldn't tolerate that. So what does that mean? So the art scroll says it's probably talking about that his karev unfortunately was a poor person, and never he had to come on to alms. He never had to go and beg for money. So he wouldn't allow that. He would go and support his mishpocha in a very generous way, so that nobody in the family had to never go around to try to solicit tzedakah from people.
Who's he referring to? Who's this person?
It doesn't say anyone. The others, we had names.
Right.
Here, we're just describing what does that midah mean. Cherpali noso kroiva means person makarev is kroivav, to make them feel good and to help them out emotionally and monetarily, financially, etc., etc. Nivze be'ein of nimas, who is this? Sechizkiyo ha-melech, shagir atzmais ov b'mita shel chavolim. We know that Chizkiyo HaMelech's father, in Nishkevez Nezakreis Tzadik, who's Chizkiyo HaMelech's father?
Ochaz.
We had him back in the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. And Chizkiyo HaMelech was afraid that since Ochaz was such a great Rasha, then unfortunately he's going to rot forever and ever. So to give him a shtikl kapora, what he did was that after his father passed away, he schlepped the body, he schlepped the skeleton on a mitzvah shel chavolim through the streets. And even though normally this would be considered to be a terrible desecration, bizoyin, it's his father, all the rest, everybody thought that it was a great idea, that with this he'll get at least a shtickle atonement for the rishis that he performed during his lifetime. So that's nivza be'in of nimas. Rashi says nimas, not Rashi, Rivan says nimas, something which is disgusting, something which is repelled. What was repugnant? What was disgusting? The way that Ochaz acted towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that was nimas. In the eyes of Chizkiyo HaMelech, that was something that was nivze, that was a bizoyin. So as an atonement, he tried to go and do this mitzvah shel chavolim to show how mo'is it was in his eyes, or how nivze was in his eyes, the masim of his father of Ochaz. V'esyiri Hashem yechabed. Zeh yishavet melech Yehudi. Yishavet melech Yehudi is well known as a great tzaddik. Shebeshah shahoy yeroy yitamad chocham. When he would say tamad chocham, or yo'oymen mekis, he'd immediately jump up from his seat. U'machabkoi, u'menashkoi, and he'd give him a big hug, and give him a big kiss. V'koyreloi, Rabbi, Rabbi, Mori, Mori. So that's the inyan of Yirei Hashem. Those that erlechin, yechabed, you're mechabed them. Nishba al-horav v'lo yomeh. Who's that? Kirab Yoichanan. What is this? The Amr of Yoichanan, Ehei Betanis, Hacha Ovel Abesi. What is this all about? Rabbi Yoichanan was often invited by people to come to their houses to eat breakfast or something like that. And Rabbi Yoichanan didn't want to burden the host and the hostess. He knows that they were doing that to mechabed him. He said, official, thank you. But of course, they were persistent. And he would go and say, well, I happen to be in a tanis. I happen to be fasting today. It's Bahab, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, it's this, it's that. You know, somebody for Rafu, Yeshua, I'm fasting. And so that's what he would do. If you're fasting, I can't give you any food to eat. And so what would happen? Rabbi Yochanan would continue in that fast until he came home. Why? Because even though theoretically he didn't really mean the fast, he was just trying to be docha the other individual. Nishba, once you make such a statement, hey, betanis, lahara, even though it's for you, it's not good for you, lahara is considered to be, we're going to have the mitzvah beginning of Masechta Shavuos tomorrow. It says in the Pasuk, Ishki Vatibus Fasayim Lahora Oile Hetiv. Lahora, the classic example the Gemara always gives is a person that says, Loi Oichal, I'm not going to go and eat. So he's an Ishba Lahora by saying, I'm an Atanis, but he would never change his mind or change his statement, and he would remain in the Tanis at Shiova Lebesi until he came home and wouldn't eat any tziklach, wouldn't go and take a Polish bottle and start drinking water, etc., etc.
Yomir is Lashon Temura?
Lashon Temura, right, to change. Exactly, three main men. Kaspo Lenosa Meneshech. You don't give kesef, Meneshech means for ribis. Now, obviously, that's a double portion. It's a chanis in the Torah, you're not allowed to take ribis. But for the ribis, which the Torah, of course, permits, that's the reason why, is because once you get the taiva of ribis, ribis is such a convenient thing, right? A person, his earned income might be meager, he wants to enhance his income. Oh, the best way is, you go and lend the money for 10%, for 20% ribis interest. I don't have to do anything, and Baruch Hashem, the money pours in. So a person can get a tremendous craving, a tremendous taiva for something like that. So even though it's permissible vis-a-vis a goy, but I'm afraid that his yetzahara is going to say, ah, goy, a yid, the other yid in the shezak reis at tzaddik. Anyway, so big deal. And therefore, that's why.
Say somewhere else in the Gemara that it's a mitzvah to charge interest to goy?
It doesn't say, I know it says a mitzvah. It says in the Torah, it says, So the Torah allows it expressly. You're allowed to go and take or pay ribis to a goy. However, this individual who wants to get close to Hashem, even to a goy, he didn't do it. He wants to be machmer, so he shouldn't have that taiva to go and do it vis-a-vis ayit. V'shoichad al noki lo'ilokach. What is this? This is the final of the 11. Now, what's the story of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi? So Rivon tells us that he had a relationship with an oris. You remember that arisus means that a person owns a piece of property and he pays his oris, the sharecropper, lemechza leshlish v'revia. They have an opmach, they have a pact between them that instead of giving a salary to his oris, the oris will get a percentage of the produce of this property. How much did he give? It depended on the minig hamokim. Some places it was 25%, some places it was a third, some places it was a half. Toisa suggests in one place, that was the other way, that the valabos is the one that got the quarter, third, or half. Whatever. But that was the custom in those days. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi's oris, he used to go, especially, I guess, at harvest time, every single Friday he would go and bring him whatever percentage they had agreed to, so that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would have new fresh fruit or fresh vegetables, whatever, for Shabbos, for his family. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi at the same time, since he wasn't busy with his field because of the fact he had an oris, so he was busy learning. And one of the things was that he was a dayan. And now this oris was coming in front of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi for a din Torah. And what the oris did was, when was the din Torah? On Thursday, a day before that he would normally bring the produce to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So he brings Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Thursday morning. He says, ah, Rebbe, owner of the property, Balbuz, boss, here I have for you your 25%, 33%, whatever they made up of the pay raise. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, tell me, why are you bringing it today? You're day early. You usually bring it on Fridays. Why are you bringing it Thursdays? Oh, you didn't know? I have a din Torah in front of you this morning, and I figured, why do I have to come to you twice? Once on Thursday, once on Friday. Since I'm going to see you anyway on Thursday, I might as well bring the pekel with me on Thursday so you don't have to wait until tomorrow and I won't have to come back tomorrow. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi felt that that looks like it has a smell of shoychad, of a bribe. Even though it wasn't a bribe, in a sense. He was legally responsible to go and give him that amount, and he was going to give him that amount anyway, but he brought the amount the day before, so he shouldn't have to bother coming and going, and blah, blah, blah. That's already upset. It looks like Ashtikl Shoychad, even though Shoychad Al Noki, it really wasn't Shoychad. He didn't take that. He'd go into Rishmol, Be'er Rabbi Yossi. So what does it say? Ksiv says at the end of the pasuk, "Oisei Eila liyimot liolam." Anyone that does these 11 major categories, he will never falter. He will always remain close to Hashem. See, Mar tells us, "Liol magil mikra zeh." When Liol we get to this pasuk, the pasuk that we just started off at the top of the Amid, "Mizmor leDavid Hashem miyogeba alechem ishkem har kachacha," and all of these 11 malos, "Hayiboycha," he would start crying. Why do you cry? I'm a man to over the kulu. Who do I yimite? A chod minayu yimite. It sounds like Oisi Eila, the one that does these 11 leyimel oilam. He's never going to fall. He'll never falter. He'll remain strong. What happens if I didn't do all 11? I only did 10. I only did 9. I only did 8. Does that mean Chas Hashem? I don't have this so-called guarantee to lo yimite the oilam. So that's when Gamliel was upset. Om relates. They said to Gamliel, Miksev Oisi Kol Eila. As long as you cleave to one of these precepts, that in itself it will already be a grace of malah to protect you. And I'll bring you a raya. We have another pasuk. This pasuk is in Parshas Achri Mois, which I'm going to lay in it next week. What does it say in Achri Mois? Altitamu b'chol eile. Ki b'chol eile nitmo agoyim asher lefneim. Shani mishalech mepneichem. It's number 4. Altitamu b'chol eile. Now this Altitam Mechaleila is an Achrei Mois after we have the list of all the Arayas. And the Pasuk says, Altitam Mechaleila, don't become Tomei. Of course, the word Tomei over here doesn't mean literally Tomei, but it means don't profane your soul and profane your neshama by going in Chas Hasholem and engaging in any one of these Arayas which we have enumerated, whether it's Achoisei, whether it's Achois Oviv, whether it's a Kalosoi, all of those which are listed there in the Pasuk. Altitam Mechaleila. Do you think what the pasuk is telling you? That only someone who does kol eila, in other words, he's a machmir, he makes sure to be over on all 12 or 15 or 18, whatever the number of arroyos which are enumerated in the parsha, only then does he become tamei, in other words, a bad, evil person.
Shibarashia type guy.
Exactly. El alab achas mikoleila. Avada the kavonis aposik means be careful about every one of these. Stay away from your sister and from your aunt and from your daughter-in-law and from an anxious ish, etc., etc. Not that just be careful about all of them, but be careful of each and every one. Hachanami is here too when it says, Oise eilil himal oilami means be achas mikoleilu. As long as you're cleaving to one or two or three, that's also a good segula, that Amir Tashem, Lahim El Oilam, you're going to remain stark. Now, as the Doiros kept on getting lower and lower in Madrega, remember David HaMelech said to do all 613 with that same vigor and with that same strength and taking it close to heart is difficult, so therefore we're going to make these 11 categories. So we'll see that there was a progression, that after David HaMelech, he said, even the 11 I see is becoming difficult, so we're going to go and give you 6 broad categories, all of which encapsulate the whole Torah, but it'll be easier to go and focus on these 6 and bring them closer to home and closer to heart. What are the 6? Tachsif, Hoylech Tzedakos, number 1, Toivim Meisharim, number 2, Moyes Bebotza, number 3, Mashakos Noyer Kapov, number 4, Hoylech Tzedakos is 1, David Mesharim is 2, Moyes Bebetza Mashakos is 3, Noyer Kapa Mitmoich Beshoichet is 4, Oitzim Ozne Mishmoya Domim is 5, Voitzim Eina Meirois Bera is 6. So now, again, the Gemara is going to do the same type of analysis that we did before. Who is the Hoylech Tzedakos? Ze Avram Avinu. That's Avram Avinu. Why? Tachsiv. Gidat al manashi tzave. And the Gemara leaves out the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk is really the key. He adopted manashi yitzav as bonav yas beisay acher b'shamu derech Hashem ulasois tzedaka u'mishpat. Oh, so Avraham Avinu, Kodesh Baruch says, Gidatav, you know the reason why I love Avraham Avinu, manashi yitzav, because I know that he's going to go and command all of his offspring for all generations, bonav yas beisay acherav, that they should go and do tzedaka. Ah, so that's hoylech tzedaka is. That's Avraham Avinu. This is a person that should not embarrass his friend, Biram. You shouldn't embarrass your friend even in private. But the point is, the word maknit is not really embarrass, it's really to go and be critical and to condemn. And what we're talking about is, let's say, a person that is doing things which are just wrong, bad, evil. You have to go and tell him off. The din of being, we're all raven. Rabbi Harry Cohen used to say, you have to be an orev, a guarantor of everybody else's behavior by going and telling your friend what you're doing is wrong. But don't do it barabim, because being malv b'nei chaver barabim, ein lechelik l'mabo, chas v'sholem, that's terrible. So, yes, go and encourage your friend to go and do the right thing and not to do the wrong thing, but don't do it barabim. Moyes v'betza machshakos, what is that going to be Shmuel ben Elisha? Now, what was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha? What is the Masa? Oh, so we have again the Rivan. Rivan fills in the story. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was a Kohen. And there was an individual that had Reishis Hagez. Reishis Hagez means that if you have at least five new Shapsaluch that produce a certain amount of wool, then you have to go and give a portion of that to the Kohen. Now, you can give it to any Kohen you want. But typically, most people had makire kohuna. Makire kohuna means their favorite kohen, because either it was a mishpocha, I have a cousin who's a kohen, or I have a son-in-law, and an eidim who's a kohen, and an einikel who's a kohen, or I have my next-door neighbor's a kohen, whatever. See, typically, people had makire kohuna. If somebody who was not from the if a person had reishis hagez, and he brought it to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was not one of his makire kohuna, he felt that with that he's doing a betza. He is benefiting financially by being osheik, taking away money, the righteous against, from the kohen that normally would be the recipient. So he's a moyes. He was a person that rejected, despised, gaining financially at somebody else's expense, even though he was a kohen like the other guy. That's Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, how careful he was not to go and get Reishis Hagez that he felt should have gone to Makir Kuna.
How do you translate Mashkos?
Mashakos. Do you ever hear Oishek? Oshak Esamisa. Oshak Esamisa means to
press
or to rip off in financial terms somebody else. Okay, he going to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Noyer Kapa Mitmoich B'Shoicher. What is that? He going Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. And here Rivon doesn't comment because he relies on the comment that we had a few lines ago. That was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, that we said Shoicher al Noki Leilokach, that his Oris brought him a day earlier the Arisis, the Peirois. He felt that that has at least an appearance of impropriety, as if it's Shoicher, even though that was his. And he got it one day early, big deal. Nevertheless, he didn't take it, so that's Ner Kappa.
He should have taken it anyway, because he's Nogea Vedavar. I mean, he's close, he's his friend, he's his worker.
You're talking about Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi? No, see, he said...
He recused himself.
He recused it. He didn't take the entire...
But even if he didn't bring it a day earlier...
Yeah. If you brought the day...
His relationship...
Oh, I mean, why should I don't know? I don't know, maybe it's just a business relationship, because you know somebody, doesn't mean that you can't go and...
Dundentara.
You have to look up in Choshe Mishpat what the halach is, the Gabi Shovtim, and bring on him what connection is in the gear, what's not in the gear. Anyway, this is a person that would close his ears from hearing. Dama means bloodshed, hear about dam. However, our Gemara learns the word domim is like you have by a haran. It says, Vayidoy maharan. When a haran heard that Nebuch, his sons were killed, the Nodvanavio, Vayidoy, he didn't complain, he didn't say anything, he was silent. The Gemara is learning Mishmoy Damam also from Lashon of Shtika. He would never hear a zilzal of a Talmud Chacham and be quiet. What does that mean? The Gemara doesn't explain the story of Reb Lozer B'Shimon. I'm sorry?
As the Gemara above Mitzia, we had a long story about Reb Lozer B'Shimon becoming a Moches.
Oh, that's in that Gemara as well, but this is referring to another aspect of Blazer Rabshimon. If you want to look at the Rivan on the left-hand margin, all the way in the top, again, the Blazer Rabshimon, second line, Basoiches Apoyelim, and Balmetzia. Denofek Richshe Miudnei. There was a period of time that he was lying there in the attic, and he had passed away already, and that his wife would go and check on him on a daily basis, and she said, Baruch Hashem, the body did not deteriorate. Nothing happened. There was no stench.
No worms in the fat of the meat.
Exactly. But one day, after a year, 2 years, whatever it was, she saw that there was a worm coming out of his ear. She was very nervous. She says, uh-oh, that means deterioration of the body is now going to begin. I see the rim of the seilea that unfortunately is now going to take over the body. So he, Rav Lozer Rav Shimon, who had passed away, now showed himself to his wife in a cholim, in a dream. kiddi biboili. You don't have to worry. Borchim, the rest of the body is going to remain intact. It's not going to deteriorate in any way. It's going to remain the way it's been for the last years, even though he already passed away years ago. So why do you see that worm that's coming or going out of the air? The reason is because it was one time in my life that I heard a zilzal that someone was mevaze itam bet chacham v'machoy, and I didn't make a proper macho. It doesn't say that he wasn't moich at all. He didn't make a macho kinevi boyily. In other words, maybe he should have stood up and he bang and gishash right. He made a quiet machad instead of making it very vocal. So what do we see from this? We see from the fact that he's being punished with this worm going in and out of his ear, that when he was alive, he was very medactic. That one time there was not Moichah Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, since you've always been so makbet throughout your life, and now you're not, no, for that you have to be punished. And the punishment was that the worm went through his ear. Anyway, so what do we see from this? Getting back to the Gemara, that's the oitim ozne mishmoy adamim. Mishmoy adam means hearing bad stuff. If that person hears bad stuff, he has to make sure not to allow for the zilzul vishosik to be dumim, unchallenged, and be quiet. The women in the good old days didn't have washing machines. Really, they didn't have washing machines? Yeah, that's right. Really? Oh, good. Anyway, so how did they go and wash the kvisa, meaning the laundry? They would typically, if it was a town or a city that was close to the lake, close to the river, they would go and take the clothes out to the river, and they would go and launder them in the river. Now, too, they didn't want all of their clothing to go and get all wet, so they would step into the water and they would go and hitch up their skirts somewhat so that their skirts and their dresses, whatever, wouldn't get wet. So, of course, that could involve seeing things which one should not see. So now, in Halacha, it says that a person should not go al sfasa nor at such a period of time. So to avoid this, what happens if a person didn't have any other choice? Presumably, all the other roads are all roadblocked for whatever, and he had to go that way. He would still be very careful not to look in that direction, not to chas v'sholem have a problem of the stockless on something which was not sneistic, which was a pritzis. Uksiv, and what is a pasuk after that saying? We just listed the hoydach tzedakah, tov meisharim, all of that wonderful stuff. What's the next pasuk say? Hu meroyim yishkain. This individual who is the hoydach tzedakah, tov meisharim, mois bebatza, etc. He will really go up high in madrega because he was able to withstand the yetzahara and all of these and can cleave to Hashem and to his mitzvahs. So that was the shayo that went down to six. But Micha Mamin and Al-Sholesh, he now encapsulated the whole Torah in three categories. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu really want from you? Number one, Kiyam Asois Mishpat, V'Havas Chesed, V'Atznei Leches Im Alekecha. These three midos. So what do they mean? Asois Mishpat Ze Hadin, that means a person should always do justice, do what's just, do what's right. Havas Chesed Ze Gimilas Chasadim, a person should always engage in doing chesed for other people. Why is Atznei Alecha? How is that related to Yitzuas HaMes Vachnosas Kala? So the Rivan says, because here it says Atznei Alecha, and it says in Koheles, Toiv Lelechas El Beis Evel Milechas El Beis HaMishta. So there it uses the term Leches, Leches El Beis Evel, Leches Beis HaMishta. So therefore, Atznei Alecha means Yitzuas HaMes Vachnosas Kala. What does that mean? In other words, he should be Osek in Yitzuas HaMes Vachnosas Kala, but without publicity, doing it behind the scenes. And he makes a kavachoyim. Vali dvorim kavachoyim. Amad dvorim shein darkan lasoysim betzina. Amr toy vatznei aleches. When you're talking about a tzuas ames, by definition, there's a lot of publicity because people are expected to come to the levaya. And, you know, they're called koyres, and there's a misaskim list, and there are placards, and people give a klap in bismedish on the bima, and Nebuchadnezzar, Mr. Yankel Smith passed away. So this is a thing which is done b'fehesia. Achnosas kala for sure. You send out 10,000 invitations, hoping that at least three people will respond. And some people do it personal delivery instead of, yep, and some people have invitations which are 5 inches thick. Well, whatever it happens to be. But the point is, Amr Torah, that these things, she'in darken lasses betzina, these things are normally very, very public. Amateur vetznei lechas, keep things subdued, quiet. Dvarim she'darken lasses betzina, those things which are betzina, like giving tzedakah, that you don't want to publicize that I gave Yankel Smith so much money because it'll be a bizoyin to Yankel Smith. Alachs kam v'kama, you should go and try to keep it under the wraps, keep it quiet.
Between gemilas chasadim and the last and the third category, because
gemilas chasadim, I guess, is
private.
No, Gemilas Chasadim is broader than just
because Gemilas Chasadim includes
right.
Mm. So it feels like it's repetitive, duplicitous, etc.
Not duplicitous, but duplicative. Yeah, you're right. You'd have to look at the Mefarshim how do they answer. Very good. Good point. Chaz Yeshio v'Hamidin al Shtaim. So Yeshio now took the three and he reduced it to two. Shenema Koyim Ar Hashem Shimru Mishpat Vasut Tzedaka. See, the tzedakah includes both the Gemilas Chasadim and the Tzos HaMetz of Chazal Kala.
Where's his dialogue, Yeshayahu? Where had Yeshayahu before? He dropped it to six. Now he's burning down to two?
He saw that they said, Doidois Mismatis V'Holchais. Ba Omois V'Amirin Al-Achas. Omois now took it down to one. Shenema Koyam HaShem, like Beis Yisrael, Dirshuni V'Chiyu. Seek me out and you will live. Just Dirshuni. Dirshuni doesn't really go and explain to you what the midah is. It just be dorish me, seek me out. Maybe seek me out of old tiring mitzvahs.
Right.
The key to survival, the key of cleaving to Hashem is having a muna, having faith. Once you have a muna, then that's the stepstool to everything. If however you don't have a portion of muna, then chas v'sholem, you can lose everything.
What happened to
Hillel?
Hillel also had one.
Hillel? Sorry?
Yeah, you want to learn Torah Kura, don't make
Torah. Al-Regalachas. Very good. That's learning Torah here. Yeah, okay, good. Some of them have
to this is practicing.
Amr B'yai Zibrachaninim. Arba Gzeiris Goza Moshe Rabbeinu Al Yisrael. Four times Moshe Rabbeinu said something about Klal Yisrael. And Bo Arba Nevi'im Ubitlam. And four later Nevi'im came and they watered it down or they basically mevatel what Moshe Rabbeinu had said. Really? What does that mean? Moshe Omar, Veishkan Yisrael, but Betach Bodad in Yaakov. What does that mean that the Klal Yisrael is going to live Betach Bodad? They're going to live securely and on their own, solely, exclusively. In Yaakov. In Yaakov means when they have Yaakov Avinu or someone of his stature in their midst, that will invigorate them and that will charge them so that they should remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore they'll be able to live Betach Bodad in Yaakov, in solidarity and in security, because they have the schus of Yaakov Avinu. However, unfortunately, we don't always have the schus of having among us someone of the stature of Yaakov. So Omois came and said, I want that Kadosh Baruch Hu should go and give us that security and that stability, even if Yaakov Avinu is not among us. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Chadalna, Miyokim Yaakov. Yaakov is now no longer with us. How are we going to go and replace Yaakov Avinu? And therefore, Uksiv says the Kadosh Baruch Hu in response, Nicham Hashem al Zois. Kadosh Baruch Hu went and had a Nechama, meaning that he, in a sense he regretted what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that only Klal Yisrael will only be Betach Bodod when they have Ein Yaakov, someone Ein Yaakov. No, Afila, if you don't have Yaakov, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bless us that during the years of Golus, that we'll still be able to maintain our independence and continue to survive all the generations. Moshe Omar, so that was number one. Moshe Omar, uvagoyim mehem lo yisargia, that when Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, they should not have any menucha. The word sargia means no rest. But yirmeh v'yomar, holach lahargia Yisrael. Yes, that when they're in Golus for so many years, they should have periods of rest. Moshe Omar poiket avoin ovis albonim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember the avoin ovis and chas v'sholem punish the children as well. The Gemara says elsewhere, if they're continuing to be nimshach b'darki ovis, so therefore the fathers will be punished and the children will be punished. But yecheskel bitla hanefesh chatas he Thomas, only focus on the person that did the chait, don't focus on the family. Hanefesh chatas he alone. Moshe Omar v'avadetem b'goyim, you're going to be lost among the nations. But Yishayo v'Omar v'oyibiyem ahu, you talk of a shefer gadol uvohu oivdim b'eretz Asher v'anidochem b'eretz Mitzrayim uvohu oivdim. They won't be lost forever. Uvohu oivdim b'eretz Asher, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take back and restore all of those ovdim. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Avadat Magoyim, you're going to be lost." Yishayo said, "You're going to be found." Omer Rav. Rav said, "Mr. Finim Haikro, whenever I learned this pasuk, Avadat Magoyim, you know, Chil Ura Odi Yecheis, and I was always
paralyzed with fear.
I was paralyzed with fear. Oh, very good. Maskul Rapopas. Rapopas said to Rav, "I don't understand. Dilma, you didn't speak to Rav because Rav earlier generations. Yeah. How do you have it? I knew you were going to ask that question. Good. Maskul Rapopas. When Rapopas learned this chazal, he asked his contemporaries. Didn't ask Rav because Rav was no longer. So he said, Dilma Ka'aveda Hamispekeshes. Maybe when it says Vavadatam Bagoyim, we're talking Aveda. When a person loses an item, he doesn't automatically say, I'm miyayish. He first goes and asks people. He sends around emails and faxes. Did anybody see? Did anybody know? Did you know? I lost it. I was in mismanaged. But did anybody find my wallet, my watch, my this, my that? So people ask about it. And therefore, when it's a vavadat magoyim, it doesn't mean automatically that's the end. It means Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to seek out.
Misplaced, not lost.
Good. Everything more, not everything more. Part of his kasha of Rapapa was to isikase oived bakish avdecha. When a seh gets lost, then the eved looks for it. In other words, runs around, tries to find it. Ella, what was bothering Rami? Seved the krutz in the pasuk. Favaratam magoyim va'achle eschem eretz oivechem, that you'll be consumed in the eretz oivechem, which means that you will no longer be found because you're going to be consumed, eaten up, devoured by the goyim. Assimilated. Anyway, you're not going to come back. That's what was bothering Rav, and that's why whenever he came to that posse, he missed Afina. Maskul Marzutra, Dilma Kach, Kilas, Kishun, V'diluin. Maybe even when it says, V'ochle Etzchem, Eretz Aveichem, it doesn't mean that you'll be totally devoured and destroyed. Maybe it means like Kishun, V'diluin. What means Kishun, V'diluin? So Rivan says that Kishun, V'diluin are the type of crop that you don't eat all of them. You leave some and you eat some. This is, I'm sorry, I said Rivan. Rivan is already no longer being Mefarish. He was the Mefarish for the last 2-3 dafim. And now, Mikan Ve'elach, you see, it's in Mipirish Rabbeinu Gershom. So Rabbeinu Gershom, who we know all from Bava Basra, so Rabbeinu Gershom going down 6-7 lines, Kachdiz Kishum V'diluin, She'oichlin Mektsasan, Mektsasan Ein Oichlin. Gourds, by definition, are the type of item, and pumpkins and gourds. Yeah, you eat some of them, but you don't eat all of them. I guess it's too much. Or not all of them are fully ripened. So, yes, many you do, but many you leave on the vine or you leave on the ground. So, same thing. We will have our losses throughout the generations. Nebuch from the Crusades, and Nebuch from the pogroms, and Nebuch from the Second World War. But that's only Miktsasan. Klal Yisrael will always continue to prosper and thrive. Okay, so now we have two, first of two stories about these four great Talmudic giants, Kvar Hoyeram Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Both of them were Nesiim at one time, 3 weeks, 1 week. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Mahalcha Mederef, they were all walking together. B'shamu koil hamoinah shel roimi, and they heard hamoin. Hamoin means they heard the crowds, the hundreds and the thousands of people of Rome. Mipalta. Mipalta is a couple of different pshatim. Either Mipalta means like from the plaza of Rome, or it could be Paltrin Shemelech from the palace of Rome. So he heard that there was a big commotion. How far were they? They were Berichik May of the Esra Mil, 120 mil away, and they could hear the commotion going on in Rome, the hundreds and the thousands, the tens of thousands of people coming and going and demonstrating and parading. V'schila Boichin, and Nebuch, of the four, three of them started crying. Rabbi Kiva Masachi, Rabbi Kiva was smiling. Omelim and Atom said, "Why are you smiling?" Omelim, the Atom, the Atom, why are you crying? Omelim, halolu kushim, shemishtachvun, latzovim, mekatar, vodis kachovim, yoishvim betach, vihashke, va'onu, beis adem, ragle elkenu, sorav ba'esh, v'loi nifke. These kushim, the word kushim over here is lav dafka, he means, he brings in fact on the side, serves a shas kuf, tzarech loimar, that. Not Tzorach Leimer, but another pshat, Svar Macherim. Where's the ois over here? Kuf. Kif, what's it to do of Kif? He writes Svar Macherim, Goyim. So read it as if it says, hello, Goyim, meaning these other nations. They're Mishtachva, Latzovim, Mekat, Avoid Zacham, they're Oisik and Avoid Zara. And they're having a good time, they're having the time of Riley, they're having parties, and they're enjoying themselves, and everything is great. And us, unfortunately, we're suffering Hadoim Ragale Keino, Hadoim Ragale Keino, which means the Beis Hamikdash, which is like the stepstool of Kodesh Baruch Hu on this world, or the footstool, I should say, is sort of aged and never totally consumed in fire. Like Nifkenu, shouldn't we cry? Look at Rome, beautiful, beautiful, and look in Yerushalayim, never chorif. Amalehem. That's why says Rabbi Kiva Kachni Misachik. That's why I'm smiling. It says Mitzachik, but on the side it says Misachik. Mitzachik would mean laughing, and laughing might be inappropriate, but Misachik means he's in a good mood, he's smiling. Why? Madach that those that are Kaddish Baruch Hu is allowing them to live a good life, a life of Riley. Can you imagine Me'at Hashem, L'Asad Lovay, when we're finally all redeemed with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash in Eretz Yisrael, etc. Can you imagine at that time the parties that we're going to have, the wonderful life that we're going to have? So that's why I was smiling. Shuv Pamachas, so we already said this quickly, but we'll repeat it again. Shuv Pamachas, Oyli Yerushalayim. Again, the four were walking up to Yerushalayim, Kibbutz Yegil, Laharabais, Laharatsoifim, I'm sorry, Laharatsoifim, Mount Scopus. Karu Migdayim, they immediately went and rent their garments, because they saw the Harabais, and they saw everything was hard. Even today, there's an Indian one should go and be Karu Migdayim, and many people are very makbid on that. Some people, they go to the Koisel the first time on Friday afternoon or Friday night, and then you don't have to. Some people wear other people's begotten. Okay, anyway, you'll speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi.
Some people go to the shuk and they buy a cheap. My son was on his gap year. Mm-hmm. He said that there was an Indian that the Bnei Yeshiva, the first time they go to the shuk and they buy a very cheap baguette so that they can do Kriya without much monetary loss.
Very good. Okay.
And they sold them specifically for that reason. In the shuk, they said them. They knew it was
the Shmat is for Kriya.
Exactly.
Very good. Came in Shegil Harabayis, when they finally arrived at the Harabayis, Rose Shul, they saw a fax, Shiyotim, Beis Kodshah Kedushim. Eschilahin Boichim, they started crying. Rabbi Kiva Masachik, Rabbi Kiva was smiling. Amulim Leon Masachik, what are you smiling about? Amulim Leon Boichim, what are you crying about? Amulim Mokim Shekosabe Vazara Korev Yumas. You're not allowed to go into the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedoshim. Chas Misholim, Azor Korev Yumas. And the Zor, by the way, is not only Yisrael, but even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim with the exception of Yom Kippur. 364 days a year, 353 days a year, you're not allowed to go in only in Yom Kippur. And now you have foxes roaming in the Kodesh Kadosh, and Nivka, shouldn't we cry? That's the reason why I'm smiling. The Idali Adam Nemonim as Uriah Hakoyim Ves Zacharia Ben Yivrechio. Zacharia Ben Yivrechio is the Zacharia of Chagis Zacharia Malachi of the Treyosar. I have these two Adam Nemonim. These were two different time periods. Uri was Mikdash and Zachari Mikdashani. El Atola Kosev Vosishel Zachari and Vosishel Uri. The Torah is kind of linking the two together. But Uri Ksiv Lechain Begalalchem Tzion Sod Techoresh, which is not just talking about plowing over Tzion and the Beis Hamikdash, but it goes worse than that. If you continue on the pasuk, Lechain Begalalchem Tzion Sod Techoresh V'Yishalayim Ian Tia. It's kind of like be like abandoned. Ian means chorvis, where everything is chorv. Desolate. Oh, no, but it's what happens if you have a building collapse? You look at the building, it's totally...
Like Surfside.
Surfside. It's going to be like bummies in the forest. In other words, everything is going to be like a wilderness. So shouldn't I... That's what Uriah said. B'scharik said, oi, the time will come, Yeshua's came with Kedem, Yeshua's Yishaloyim. Then Me'at Hashem, the elderly will be able to sit quietly in the Rechavis Yishaloyim. And the pasuk continues, V'ishmish amte b'yodoy meroiv yomim, that the elderly will be carrying their canes in their hand, because Baruch Hashem, they are zkenim as kenois. And actually, the zkenim of Vosei Shaluyah, ha'isim esori, shalit the zkenim of Vosei Shalschayim. I was always fearful that if the nevuah of Uri is not going to come true, then the nevuah of Zchai is not going to come true. Actually, the Zchai of Vosu Shal Uri, I see the foxes are going Kodesh Kedoshim, Nebuch, Tzion, Chtzod, Techoresh, V'yadua, Shal Vosu Shal Zchai, Meskiyames, and therefore I have nothing to worry about. It come in the tzait. Unfortunately, the Golus is long, but the time will come. Ploshen Azeh Amrulai, when the other three heard Rabbi Kiva saying that, they said, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. You've given us a Nechama that Mi'at Hashem, even though we were in this Golus already almost 2,000 years, but the time will come. Tzadik B'Menasi Yechia, we have to have that faith and that Amuna that it's going to happen, Rabbi said. And we just start Shavuos.
I just want to point out, since these people, it was Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Zaria, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva. So
the four.
So
three plus one.
I know, but Rabbi Gamliel, had this whole thing with Rabbi Yeshua, but here they were together, and then there was Rabbi Zaria who took over. So I'm wondering, you know, this they all came back together, I guess.
What the Gemara says?
Was it before or after the Merida?
I would say maybe it was after, right?
Rabbi Gamliel had been deposed, as we know. And what was the reason why he was deposed? Because he chapped too much with Rabbi Yeshua. And then after that, Rabbi Yeshua was moichel him.
Right.
After he was moichel him, then they said, what are we going to do? We have to appoint somebody else. And Rabbi Blas ben Azai, before the Mechil, Rabbi Blas ben Azai was appointed. But now what are we going to do? We can't go and depose Rabbi Blas ben Azai. So then he split it up in three and one.
Whose week was it? Whose Shabbos was it?
Exactly. So apparently the three, Baruch Hashem, got back together again.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Kiva was...
Gevaldi
Gachdus. And the new Mesech to begin, Shvui Shtayim Shein Arba, Yitiz Atum Shtayim Shein Arba, etc., which will continue in Mech Hashem tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Okay.